I'm sorry if this gets too depressing, but it gets worse. I know a lot of people come to see comedy to get away from their problems, and I don't have that kind of show. I have the kind of show that reminds you of your problems, and then I talk about other problems you didn't even know you had till tonight. Then I dump all my problems on top of that, and you walk out of here 10 times more depressed than when you even walked in, and it's the only time I smile during the night, is watching you leave all sad. And that's not professional. I had a guy kill himself after a show a year and a half ago. Clark Adams was his name. Yeah. And it wasn't that weird, because the people who... like, I have a really fucked up, you know, audience. The people who are into what I do over the years, there's not a lot of them, but there's some dark fucking souls that come around. And I'm glad you're here, because you're the only people I can talk to, man. It's not for everyone. It's fucking... but the small, narrow corridor of people who are into this, I'm glad you're fucking with me, because it's a big, ugly world out there without you. It's not ever going to be popular. It's almost like what I do is, it's like fetish comedy. It's just like fetish porn, where, yeah, it's not, you know, the adult babies or that shit you look at on the fucking, at work on the internet. Look at this, hairy girls. She got sideburns and this big Chernobyl beaver. It goes all the way up to her belly button. Brillo up the ass crack. And yeah, she's never going to be mainstream porn, but the people who do jack off to her will drive a long way to see her live. And that's what I count on with you. This isn't really so much about a career as it is not feeling so fucking alone and thinking like this. If that makes any sense. Because I can hang out with you guys, and there's not, you forget that this is what I do for a living. I talk to you guys, you're all I know. I jump on a plane, I go to the next town, and I drink with you guys again. And you forget sometimes that there's a whole real ugly fucking world of people out there that you don't want to meet until you have to go to your, you know, girlfriend's fucking grandparents' house for dinner, and you're like, oh Jesus, what do I say? These are, oh, this is what people are like. I took a shuttle bus. I'm doing this gig, and I took a shuttle bus. It would take me to the club. It's like a fucking Holiday Inn or some shitty fucking regular hotel. And I get in the shuttle bus this night, and there's an older couple, you know, upper class, middle upper class, like 60s. Yeah, the gated community types. And I go, hi, hi. And then the shuttle driver gets in, and she looks at me. She goes, wait, you're the comedian from the comedy club, right? I go, yeah. She said, these people are coming to your show. You're both going to the same place. How about that? I'm going, oh, motherfucker, Jesus. Stop, why did you do that to me? Like, first of all, I know they're not, they have no idea who I am. They're going to a comedy club because they think it's all Jay Leno bullshit. And, but not only have I been thrown under the bus, and I know they're going to hate me, but now I'm stuck, forced talking to them for 8 minutes. And making upset doesn't sound like a long time. It's a fucking eternity when you're just trying to make up small talk. Whoever the six people I was with in the elevator know how awful I am at trying to make small talk when I'm dead sober and trying to prepare for a show. And now I'm talking, and they don't want to talk to me either, but we're put into that social contract where every word I say is, it's forced and it's unnecessary and it hurts. Every word feels like a tooth extraction and it's bleeding and it's like a brick being forced through a funnel, vomiting up a, oh, so where are you from? And then a stagnant dead air. And, well, we're down because our niece is graduating from... that every second hurts. I don't get that with you guys. I'll drink with you guys after the show at the bar. And I don't... you know, that's it. When I talk to you guys, I know if you still want to talk to me after listening to an hour of my bullshit, it's probably going to be interesting right away. If you listen to all the shit I say, there's no more need for pretense and social mores. You just say, hey, Doug, you know that thing you said about hydrocolon therapy? That's wicked funny, because when we were kids, my gay Uncle Nick tried to suck a bullfrog out of his ass with a dirt devil, ended up tearing his colon wall. It went septic. If my mom hadn't been there doing his laundry, no one would have known he might have died. And you go, this is so disgusting and compelling all at the same time with no buildup. It's just right there. You don't get that in a shuttle bus full of old fucks. Old country club fucks. I'd like that. Come on in the shuttle. This is my wife. We were just talking about the night we met almost 40 years ago. You know, I raped her that night. It was date rape, they call it now. But it was rape. She was kind of drunk, and she was trying to shoo me off. But she was puking too bad to actually say no. And back then, there was so much shame and repression, she thought it would be better just to play along like she did want it. And we've been together ever since in a bitter, sniping relationship. I would love that. That would be a welcome exchange rather than, when we grew up, all of this was nothing but So I'm trying to be nice to these people. I'm a nice guy. I just don't have any common ground. So it's nice and small talk. But the more I'm being nice, the more I feel like I'm being deceptive somehow, where I should just be honest and say, listen, you'll never get what I do. It's not for you. Here's your money back. Go see a Bruce Willis movie. I don't want to fuck up your Saturday. But somehow that would be considered rude. You won't get it. It's not for you. So I had to do the wrong thing by continuing to be nice, knowing the longer I'm nice, the more they build up, you know, the more they're going to be disappointed when they see my act, because they will fucking hate what I do. And it made me wonder if any of the 9/11 hijackers ever got into a similar pickle with bad airplane conversation. Where they're just trying to go do their gig, and they got it all worked out in their head, and they're trying to concentrate, and then they get through the airport security, and that box cutter is shaking in their pocket. It's showtime. We got to be ready to go. But then they sit them next to some chatty cunt back in coach. Oh, you got a middle seat. Come on in. Sit down. Want a piece of my USA Today? You can have the money section. I'm just kidding. Nobody wants the money section. Anyway. Yeah, no, USA Today. That traffic at Logan was atrocious. It was very bad traffic. Weather map shows a lot of thunderstorms in the Midwest. I hope we don't hit any turbulence. Yeah, turbulence. Oh, I don't like the Rocky Plain. Long flight to Disneyland. Oh, it'll take a lifetime. Jesus fucking Christ. Here's your money bag, lady. Take the bus. You're not going to get what I do. You'll never understand. It's not for the mainstream.